In today's gospel, Christ is rejected by the people of his hometown. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Roland.
It's good to see all us hardy New Englanders. You know, don't let a big snowstorm like this keep us away, so welcome. So if I were to ask us here, and go ahead and yell out an answer if you want, how many sacraments are there?
Seven.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Can we name them all? All right. Well, I'll help us out, okay? So we have baptism. And somebody help me keep count because I'll lose track. So we have baptism. We have Holy Eucharist. We have reconciliation. We have confirmation. We have holy matrimony. Holy orders or ordination.
Anointing of the sick.
Anointing of the sick. Say, thank you, Bishop. Notice that's the only one he knew. It's the only one he chimed in on. So we have seven sacraments. So what is the definition of a sacrament? Okay, nobody's yelling that one out. So a sacrament is a gift freely given by God, instituted by Christ, by way of which we receive grace. A gift freely given by God, instituted by Christ, by which we receive grace. So what is grace? I know you didn't expect all these questions this morning, did you? You would have stayed at home and watched it on TV. But what is grace? If I were to ask you that, you'd probably say, "Well, that's what we say, you know, before we eat a meal." And you would be right. You would be correct in saying that. But the answer I'm looking for is grace. That gift that's freely given to us by God is God's love. Grace is God's love freely given to us unconditionally. Unconditionally meaning we don't have to do anything for it. We just have to accept it. We have to be open to it and just let God love us. Grace. God's love given to us unconditionally. And if we receive that grace, that gift of love from God, what are we to do with it? Well, we have to live by example and to love one another unconditionally. And what does it mean to love unconditionally? Not to ask for anything in return. Now, I have two kids, one 29, my daughter, and my son 32. And throughout the 32 years of having kids, my wife and I, as I know many of us have loved unconditionally. When my kids, you know, wanted those perfect shoes, I would save up for it. My wife and I would sacrifice. We would get them for them. But I wouldn't then turn around and say, okay, I got you these shoes, but now you got to do something for me. You have to do something for me. Or when they were going to college, we sacrificed so we could put them through college. I didn't then turn around, or we didn't then turn around and say, okay, we just put you through college. Now you have to do something for me. No. We love our children unconditionally. We do things for them unconditionally. We sacrifice for them unconditionally because we love them. As parents, we mimic God in how we love our children. Because as children of God, how did He love us? He sacrificed His Son for us to show us His love so that we could be forgiven of our sins unconditionally. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my Son on the cross so you can be free of sin, but I want you to do this. You need to do this for me. No, He did it because He loves us. He did it because He loves us. Love unconditionally. And what does that mean also? Well, as Jesus Christ died for us because He loved us so much, we are asked to do the same for each other, to die for another. Sometimes that means bodily, physically, dying for another, when you're protecting somebody out of love. But in other times, and most times in our lives, it means giving up something so that another may have. Giving up a lifestyle so another may live and enjoy their time. It means sacrificing for each other. Loving unconditionally. Dying of ourselves so another may live as Christ died for us. Right now in the world, within the church, we see a thing going on that kind of driving me crazy. And it came to the forefront because I have a co-worker who is very excited about this. And he's Catholic. His family is Catholic. But he told me a couple weeks ago that his daughter got engaged. I said, that's awesome, Paul. I said, no. I can talk with them. They want to get married. You know, we can see what we can do. I can help you out. Oh, no, Roland. We're going to Key Largo. They want to get married on the beach. They want to feel the sand between their toes. They just like the view there. It's going to be a great time. And I just left it there. I said, okay, Paul. But that's what's happening. People are getting married and forgetting what makes a strong marriage. Yes, it's love for each other, but it's allowing the love of God to be in their marriage. So that when times get tough, they're reminded of God's love for them. And where does that take place? Here at the altar of God. In front of the altar of God. Vowing your love for each other. At the altar of God. And taking that example into your marriage. The example of God loving us. Unconditional love. Allowing God in. 35 years ago, I was married in the church. But I didn't have the knowledge that I have today. We were present in the church, and my mind was elsewhere. It was on the reception. I'm not going to lie. I was ready to party down. Let's get this portion of it over with, shall we?
It was 102 degrees in the church. It's a very old church, so no air conditioning. We were sweating. And I just wanted to go party. My wife and I, throughout the years, we have hosted marriage preparation for young couples. And I always tell this story because had I known then what I know now, I would have saw my marriage in front of the altar of God a lot differently. But we grow in the love of God, as has my family, my wife and I. And it's gotten through some very difficult times. Early on in our marriage, we had some troubles. We had some rough patches to the point where my wife had enough. And we used to live down the street from my mother-in-law. So she took the two kids, they were very young, and ran up to her mother's house. A couple hours later, I get a phone call from my mother-in-law saying, "You need to get up here." I don't say no to my mother-in-law, so okay, I'll be right there. I walk up there. My mother-in-law has my wife in the kitchen. The two kids are off playing with Grampy. And she says point blank to us, "Do you want this marriage to end? If you do, then go your separate ways right now. But if you don't, then get back down to your house and work on it." Well, 35 years later, we must have went back to the house. But that was a God moment. That was God putting my mother-in-law in our lives to remind us of our love for each other. Our unconditional love. Sacrificing our feelings of whatever at that time to love each other. And to honor the vow that we made in front of the altar of God. To love each other unconditionally. The good times, the bad times, sickness and in health, until death do us part. Sadly to say, I have a very close young couple to me that is experiencing a great difficulty in their marriage. They've given up on each other because it got a little difficult. It got a little difficult. They're trying to both explain to me what's going on, and I don't understand. The only answer I get is, "We've grown apart." Well, what does that mean? We've grown apart. Do you still love each other? Yes, but we've grown apart. But do you love each other? Yes, but we've grown apart. Well, just like my mother-in-law said, "Well, fix it." Remind yourselves, when you came to the altar of God, what you vowed, that you love each other unconditionally, and God will grow you back together. Love one another as God loves us through sacrifice. Love is not a feeling. Love is not this bubbly stuff in your belly. Love doesn't make your heart jump all over the place. But love is a choice each and every day. You choose to love as God chooses to love us. Every morning I wake up and I choose to love my children. I choose to love my wife. I choose to love my God. It's a choice. Not a feeling. So allow God's love, allow His grace to be a part of your lives. And share that love and share that grace with others around you. And be the example that God was to us through sacrifice, the sacrifice of His Son, so that we may live. God bless.